Week 12, Overview. Ancient Americas. The Inuit, Mound Builders, and Mayas. This week we're finishing our whirlwind tour of ancient cultures around the rest of the globe with a final stop in the Americas. We're going to slip out of our historical sequence this week so that we can study most of the major cultures that existed in the Americas before Columbus arrived. Some of these date back to the time of Abraham and Moses, but others arose much later than that. As a result, your children will be reading about the mound builders and cliff dwellers this week, and our main focus will be on the most advanced ancient American culture, the Maya civilization of Central America. Now please note, although we're including the Maya in our ancient world tour, they flourished much later than any other civilization we'll study this year. Their culture lasted from about AD 200 to 900. We include them in this unit because their level of development is roughly comparable to the other ancient cultures that we've studied. There's a lot of geography to cover. It's a whole new world. It's easy to match up the different areas with the different American peoples. The Inuit, or Eskimos, live in the far north. The mound builders lived in the eastern forests of what is now the United States. The cliff dwellers lived in the southwest. The Maya lived in Central America. Your children should be shading maps that show where each people group lived. Ask them to show you what they've done. While they're at it, ask them how they think the Americans got here. Did they walk across the ice from Russia to Alaska? Did they sail from Africa to South America? We know they got here somehow, but how? Plenty of people have come up with plenty of theories about this. Why not let your kids come up with their own? One question worth asking is, why don't the scientists know for sure where these people came from? Now the answer is, artifacts are rare and records are non-existent. North and South America are huge continents, and the people who lived here were few and far between. The early American people left very few traces, and the ones they did leave don't tell us where they came from. There are several American people groups, though, and that left us plenty to study. The Maya are the most obvious, but they're also the mound builders to the east and the cliff dwellers in what are now the states of New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado. The mound builders left thousands of earthen mounds around the Ohio and Mississippi River valleys. Many of these mounds are huge, made up of hundreds of tons of dirt and stone. The mound builders had neither wheels nor beast of burden. No ancient American people did. The mound builders weren't all the same tribe. Many different groups of Indians built mounds, especially those who lived in the river valleys. Some of the mounds date back almost 3,000 years, others are more recent. The Grave Creek Mound in Moundsville, West Virginia, is 70 feet high. The Newark Earthworks in Newark, Ohio, includes a total of 50 acres of land. We can tell from the items that were buried in the mounds that these people must have had some beliefs about life after death. We can also tell they had quite a trade network. There are shark teeth from Florida and volcanic glass from Minnesota in these Midwestern mounds. The cliff dwellers arose much later than the mound builders. These southwestern peoples built their homes in the walls of canyons or under overhanging rocks from about AD 1000 to 1300. The most famous tribes were the Anasazi. The cliff dwellers farmed the flat land below their homes or the mesas above them. They grew beans, corn, cotton, squash, tobacco, and they raised turkeys. They hunted deer and mountain sheep with stone-tipped arrows. They made red and black designs in their pottery and wore clothing made of cotton, milkweed, and yucca fibers. In the winter, they wore furs. The Anasazi left their homes in the cliffs somewhere around AD 1300. As far as we know, their descendants started building homes out of dried mud, called adobe, on level ground. These people are now known as the Pueblo Indians. The mound builders and cliff dwellers left artifacts behind, but they left no records. They never invented writing. There's only so much we can know about a culture just by looking at their leftovers. The Maya, by contrast, left a rich written record. The Maya lived in the tropical rainforest south of Mexico, in what is now Guatemala. They thrived there from about AD 250 to 900. For some reason, around 900, they abandoned their homes and moved to higher ground in the north and south. They were still there when the Spanish arrived and conquered Central America. We noted in previous weeks three factors that lead to a civilization. These are a steady food supply, security from outside enemies, and a strong central government. The Maya had all three. They had a regular, abundant food supply because they grew mayas, which they developed as a hybrid between grass and corn. The Maya are the first ancient civilization we've encountered that didn't start out on a major river, but they had plenty of water nonetheless. The Central American climate provided lots of rain for their crops. They had few, if any, enemies. The tribes to the north were too weak or wise to attempt to declare war on the Maya. Though not strictly a central government, their city-to-city, chieftain-dominated dynastic governments were autonomous, but also strongly connected by religious beliefs and culture. One form of governmental glue was the fact that the chiefs were most often priests, and these individuals were the educated, powerful rulers of all the Maya peoples. Thus, they had remarkably little strife or change for centuries. The Maya were sophisticated scientists in their way. They developed advanced mathematics and astronomy that helped them create an accurate yearly calendar. Their art included remarkable architecture, painting, pottery, and sculpture. They were the first American people to perfect writing. Maya writing is fun to look at. It's also remarkably complex. There are hundreds of unique signs that express ideas in some cases and sounds in others. It's a cross between Chinese picture writing on the one hand and our alphabet of letter sounds on the other. Each Mayan inscription is laid out as a grid, with blocks of signs in neat rows and columns, but each block can have anywhere from 1 to 5 signs in it. The grid is deceptive, too. You would expect to read the signs from side to side or top to bottom, but that would be too easy. The Maya read down the page in zigzags. Read a block, go right, go down, go left, go down, go right, go down till you get to the bottom, then start over at the top of the next column. Given an alphabet that zigzags down the page and is unlike anything else in the world, it's amazing that anyone can read Mayan inscriptions today. It took many brilliant archaeologists to crack the code. The Maya number system was sophisticated, too. They used a base 20 system. I guess they counted on their fingers and their toes. They used a dot for the number 1, a bar for 5, and a special symbol for the 0. While the Romans were still fussing around with clumsy Roman numerals, the Maya had perfected a place value system that let them do arithmetic in a flash. The Mayan priests were remarkably good astronomers. They studied the positions of the sun, moon, and stars. From their inscriptions, we could tell that they could predict eclipses. The Maya built pyramids, as did several other Central and South American peoples. Their pyramids were made of limestone or dirt, and had stepped sides and flat tops. They used the flat tops as platforms for their temples. Since the Maya had no wheels or beasts of burden, all the dirt or stone in these pyramids must have been carried in baskets on human backs. The Maya were polytheistic. Their gods were closely tied to the elements of nature, on which the Maya were dependent for survival as farmers. Their most important gods were the benign creator god and the sun and moon gods, who were the father and mother, respectively, of all people. They had many other so-called gods, though. One manuscript mentions more than 160. The Maya were very religious. Every day had its own religious significance, and there were festivals in honor of different gods all through the year. These gods could be helpful to people, but they could also be a threat. That's why the Maya fasted, prayed, offered sacrifices, and held so many religious ceremonies. They sacrificed deer, dogs, and turkeys to feed the gods, and frequently poured out their own blood onto pieces of bark paper as offerings. They practiced human sacrifice on occasion. The Maya observed special ceremonies when burying their dead. Corpses were painted red and then were wrapped in straw mats with a few of their personal belongings. They were buried under the floor of the houses where they had lived. Maya rulers and other important persons were buried in their finest garments within the pyramids, under the temples. Servants were killed and buried with them, along with jewelry and utensil, presumably for use in the next world. Maya families lived together in extended families, including grandparents. The men and boys farmed, hunted, and fished. The womenfolk tended babies, prepared meals, made clothes, and carried wood and water. Men wore a simple loincloth. Women wore cotton dresses down to their ankles. There were no schools. Children learned by doing, along with their parents. Their food consisted mostly of beans, corns, and squash, but they also raised avocados, chili peppers, and yams. They used the available land well. They dug canals to drain swampy land and built terraces on the slopes. This made it possible for a lot of people to live in one place. Maya cities were big, with as many as 60,000 people in the largest city and another 30,000 in the area around it. With so many people living in the cities, the Maya developed an extensive trade network. They carried goods from one town to another on their backs or in dugout canoes. Trade items included luxury things like jade, chocolate, jaguar pelts, quetzal feathers. The Maya formed a loose federation of autocratic cities that were ruled by their priests. As the culture grew, these cities began to fight each other. They celebrated victories over their enemies by sacrificing the conquered rulers and other important prisoners of war. They erected monuments proclaiming their triumphs. Each Maya city governed its surrounding area, and some large cities each controlled one or more smaller cities. A city ruler would usually be succeeded by his younger brother or by his son. In some cases, generations of a single family ruled for hundreds of years. For example, a series of at least 29 kings from one family ruled Tikal from before AD 300 until sometime after 869. The Maya never united to form a central governmental unit, but in late Maya times, the governments of such cities as Chichen Itza and Mayapan controlled large parts of the Maya population. It isn't clear whether this had anything to do with the decline and fall of the Maya civilization. By about AD 700, however, the growth of the population slowed. In the 800s, they stopped erecting victory monuments. A century later, for some reason, the Maya abandoned their cities in the Guatemalan lowlands and moved away. To this day, nobody knows why. What was it? Disease? Disaster? We've already seen other cultures vanish in our study of history, and more will come. The Indus Valley civilization rose and fell, and we can't even read their writing. The Roman Empire ruled the Mediterranean world for an age, but it collapsed and plunged Europe into barbarism for centuries. We study these vanished civilizations to be able to serve the purposes of God in our own generation. We want our children to be wise, understanding the times, and knowing what the people of God should do.